makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, present Strange as It Seems. We're going to make a most unusual offer, so listen carefully. We're going to make it possible for every man and woman in our radio audience to try X-Lax at our expense. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard. Mail it to X-Lax, spelled E-X-L-A-X, in care of the station to which you are listening. You will receive in the mail, with our compliments and without any cost to you, a trial package of X-Lax, the chocolated laxative. We could tell you at great length how good X-Lax is, how kind to your system, how people all over America say it is the finest laxative for every member of the family. But nothing we could say would be half as convincing as your own personal experience with X-Lax. So, you be the judge. Just write your name and address on a postcard. Mail it to X-Lax in care of this station. You will receive, absolutely free, your trial package in the mail. Don't put it off. Mail your postcard now before you forget it. Send for your free trial package of X-Lax right away.
The Man Who Fell 5 Miles. 1920. A government aerodrome in the United States. Two aviators are watching Major Rudolf Schroeder's plane as it soars out of sight in an effort to win a new altitude record.
He must be up about 30,000 feet now. He'll break the altitude record, all right.
Yeah, Schroeder's a wonderful pilot. One of the best.
Yeah. I'm worried, though. I don't think he was carrying enough oxygen.
I thought that, too, but he was positive he had plenty, so I didn't say anything more.
Say, isn't that his plane?
Where?
That dot way up there in the sky.
Oh, I don't see how it could be. He hasn't had time enough yet to... Say, it is his plane.
Yes, sir. Walter, that ship's out of control. It's heading straight down. He'll crash.
I bet his oxygen did give out.
We've got to do something.
What can we do? Look at that plane. Look at it. It's only got about 3,000 altitude now. Look.
It's horrible to stand here helpless.
It's all right. It's all right. Schroeder's got the ship under control.
No, he can't have.
Yeah, look. He straightened it out.
My gosh, you're right. He's going to land. He's going to make it. Something's wrong with him. He's making a bad landing.
Gee, I hope he doesn't crack up now.
Well, he's on the ground anyway. I'll call the ambulance. You find out what's the trouble.
I saw him falling. Must have fallen a good 5 miles. Then he managed to straighten her out. I don't know how.
Schroeder. Schroeder. Why, he doesn't answer.
Schroeder. Look, he's got his mask off and he's just sitting there in the ship.
Walter, he's blind.
What?
He's unconscious. His eyeballs are frozen. Look.
Get him out of the plane. We'll take him to the hospital. What's wrong with him, Walter?
He must have torn his oxygen mask off. He's alive, though, I think. Here, boys, help me lift him out of the plane.
Sure. Right.
You go around the other side of the ship, Edward.
Okay.
Dick, you grab his left arm. I'll take the right one.
All right.
Now, all set?
Yeah.
All together, boys.
All right.
Easy there.
Yeah.
Easy. That's it.
Yeah.
Now lay him on the stretcher.
Right.
Oh, wait, wait.
Yeah.
Okay, I got him. All right. Now lift him into the ambulance. There.
Careful now. Gently. There now, he's inside. I'll go with him to the hospital.
How is he? Has he got a chance, Doctor?
I think I've got him straightened out. He'll pull through.
Doctor, he won't be blind.
I don't think so. His eyeballs are badly frozen, but I think they'll be all right.
Thank the Lord.
May take several weeks, though.
Did he say anything to give an idea of what happened?
Yes. He regained consciousness long enough to say his oxygen gave out, and that he tore off the mask in his terror.
Oh, no.
The intense cold froze his eyeballs, and he became unconscious. After that...
But he must have come to for a second to manage to straighten out the ship.
He did come out of it just long enough to straighten out. But he did it when he was stone blind.
My God.
Yes, death must have taken a holiday during that 5 mile fall. It's a miracle, Edwards, an absolute miracle that Rudolf Schroeder is still alive.
Strange as it seems, Major Rudolf Schroeder actually fell over 5 miles in his airplane because his oxygen had given out on an altitude flight.
He regained consciousness long enough to straighten out his plane and make a safe landing, although totally blinded with frozen eyeballs. Incredible, but true. The 18th century Al Capone. When the United States government finally put Al Capone in Alcatraz prison for failure to report his income properly, it took a page from 18th century English history. For Jonathan Wild, notorious London gangster, was a veritable public enemy number one. 1724, London. Jonathan Wild has set up a profitable business receiving stolen property from thieves which he hired to do the stealing. Parliament has sought to curb his activities by passing a law making receivers of stolen property accessories to the theft. Wild cleverly outwits them by setting up a respectable lost property office, which returns stolen goods to owners for a commission. He is now so prosperous, he has opened up two branch offices. Wild is in his main office. Jack Shepherd, notorious thief, enters the room.
What do you want, Shepherd? I've got no time to talk to you.
Oh, yes, you have, Wild. Now you listen to me. I've had all I want of your eye-ended ways. From now on, I go my way and you go yours.
You mean? You won't steal that lace from the Earl of Dudley?
No, I won't. The man who works for Jonathan Wild always loses in the end.
Why, you lose?
Enough of that, Wild. Looskin and me is tired of you and your old gang. We are finished for good and all.
Oh, no, you ain't. If you try to open another stolen property office, I'll have you thrown into prison.
Oh-ho! You'll have me thrown into prison. What can you do?
I've got friends, don't worry. And they do what I want, because I know too much about them. Understand?
All right, then, me bucko. We'll see who's got the most friends.
Jonathan Wild gives enough evidence to the London authorities to have Shepherd arrested for receiving stolen property. He and his companion, Blueskin, are thrown into Old Bailey prison. In the meantime, Wild swaggers about London, confident that his friends among the police will let him continue his stolen property racket. Then, one day...
Have the prisoner brought in here, Dinwood?
Yes, Mr. Jeffries.
Come in, Shepherd.
What do you want with me for, eh? I've done nothing.
I want something from you. Just a little information.
I don't know anything. I've been in this blasted, filthy prison for 6 months.
Shepherd, you'd like to see Jonathan Wild hanged, wouldn't you?
Just the dirty traitor.
Well then, what do you know about that lace which was stolen last July from the Earl of Dudley?
Jonathan Wild paid Jack Sharp £10 for stealing that lace. He sold it later on in Brussels for £200.
I know all that. We've traced it. But how is it that the Earl of Dudley has the lace back in his possession?
Easy enough. Wild acted as agent, charged the Earl a big commission, about £100, I guess, and recovered it for him. That's the way he always works.
Ah, then we have him. We have him at last.
You mean you can convict him? How about his friends?
A criminal has no friends. You should know that.
I know, all right.
They told me that Wild offered you that lace job, and you refused to go through with it.
Yes. Because Wild had done me out of too many commissions. I wasn't risking my neck for him again. No blooming fear.
Will you sign a written confession stating just what you have told me?
What will I get out of it?
I'll see you're set free in 3 months, and Wild will hang at Tyburn.
Struth! Can I see him swing?
Yes.
Give me the pen and ink. I'll sign the confession now.
Jonathan Wild, come forward and receive your sentence.
You can't hang me. I've committed no crime. I'm in a respectable business. I do the public a service by returning stolen property.
Silence.
I do.
Jonathan Wild, you are hereby acquitted of the charge of stealing lace from the Earl of Dudley.
Ah, you see?
The written confession of another criminal
is not conclusive evidence that you actually committed this crime.
I told you you couldn't send me to prison. I'll never go.
You are guilty of not informing the police of your activities in returning the stolen lace to the Earl of Dudley.
That's no crime. It was a slip, an oversight.
The law says that receivers of stolen property are accessories to the theft. By not informing the police that you returned the stolen property to your client, you have committed a crime.
Well, what of it? I'll pay the fine.
The punishment for this crime is death.
Death?
And so, Jonathan Wilde, I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until dead at Tyburn on May 24th, 1725. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Strange as it seems, Jonathan Wilde, notorious London gangster, was finally convicted for failure to report a commission paid him by a client. The authorities had tried in vain to find him guilty on other charges, but his alibis had always been airtight. Like Al Capone, the one item he forgot proved his undoing.
At the beginning of this program, we told you how you could secure a trial package of X-Lax absolutely free. And now, we repeat for the benefit of those who may have tuned in late. You don't have to do a single thing except write your name and address plainly on a penny postcard and mail it to the radio station to which you are now listening. You'll receive in the mail, entirely without cost, a trial package of X-Lax, the chocolated laxative that tastes just like delicious chocolate. More than 46 million packages of this exceptional product were sold last year in the United States alone. Literally, millions of people say it is the ideal laxative for every member of the family, young and old. But perhaps you've never tried X-Lax. Perhaps you've never experienced its mildness, its effectiveness, its delightful taste. Then we'll gladly send you a trial package free if you'll just mail us a postcard in care of this station. Write your name plainly. Mail to X-Lax, spelled E-X-L-A-X. Do this right away so you and your family may know from experience this remarkable laxative. Kind to your taste. Kind to your system. By all odds, America's favorite. Little Jack Horner, who sat in a corner and stuck his thumb into a Christmas pie, actually lived, and he did pull a plum out of the pie. What was this plum? Be sure and meet the real Jack Horner on the next broadcast. You will also meet the surprise witness. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. You are more closely related to your brothers and sisters than to your mother or father.